if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 302. This is our 2024 RBC Heritage and Corrales Punta Cana Championship Bets Pod. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's double dose of PGA Tour action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have my in-depth betting previews for both events, strokes gained rankings for the RBC Heritage. We've got player form statistics, plus, of course, predictor models across both events. All of that content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. Do you know what, guys? I got a record amount of likes last week for our Masters show on the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel. Almost 1,000 likes.
Fantastic.
Which I was amazed by.
Really good.
It's amazing what our listeners and viewers do when you ask a question.
Did you have to bribe them?
No, I didn't even offer them any free stuff like everyone else does. Amazing.
Free guide on how to not back Xander for a major.
Or Wacky Neiman.
Exactly. Or Larry or Matsuyama.
Anyway, we're going too earlier, guys. Right. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This one is great. It's called Wake Up and Smell the Poana. Five stars. And it's from Dave. And Dave's in Toronto, Canada. Hello, Dave. If you're betting on golf but not listening to these guys, it's time to give it a listen. The theme song is reason enough to keep us coming back for more. I love the banter between the guys and the deep analytical dives they take each week. I genuinely look forward to my hour-long commute on Tuesday mornings for a chance to listen to the upcoming tournament breakdowns. Keep up the good work, chaps. Thank you, Dave, from Toronto.
Thanks, Dave. Hopefully we can give you some entertainment for your forthcoming commute.
Cheers, Dave.
How long's your commute, Paul?
Well, it takes me about a minute or so to get downstairs, make a cup of tea and get back to the laptop. Similar to yours, I expect.
Not this morning. It took me 45 minutes to get downstairs because my back's gone.
Oh, dear.
I was kind of wondering, do I come down head first down the stairs or feet first? So I came feet first in the end.
Perhaps if you have a big win over the next few weeks or months, you can get a stair lift put in, Steve. That might
help. Stand a stair lift. There are other stair lift companies available. Well, let's talk about the Masters. We're not going to talk about it for too long, though, because I think people kind of get over it. Scottie Scheffler. What do I think? As a man that backed him at the Players and as a man that backed him at the Houston Open and he finished second and had a five-footer to get into a playoff, you're very much in danger of shooting yourself in the foot when you don't then put him up at the Masters 2 weeks later. So that's what I did. I keep an eye on the live strokes gain numbers throughout the week that were available at DataGolf. And when you looked at the numbers, he was never, ever losing that tournament. You know why? Because he was always in the very top one or two of strokes gained around the green.
Yeah.
And the TV commentary was saying, this isn't your typical Scotty. You know, he's not hitting every green. He's a bit scruffy. But that strokes gained around the green number never, ever wavered. And you just saw it on the screen. his none of this is new. His tactical acumen with Ted Scott about how to play a golf hole, where to leave it, where to not miss, and just leave the rest to your short game is phenomenal. Mm. And even when he's not at his very best, and he wasn't at his very best for approach play at the Houston Open, that did improve, especially on Sunday, especially when it got to about the eighth hole. But he just... That around the green game is phenomenal. And now making putts.
Yeah,
it's an unbeatable combination right now.
He's like the T-1000 in Terminator. Just even if he makes a bogey, he just like reforms himself and just comes back and starts killing everybody even more.
He's making a birdie on the next hole.
The most shocking thing last week was the double bogey on 10. Thinking, my God, he might actually be fallible.
Might be human.
Unbelievable.
I watched him on Thursday put it in Ray's Creek on 13. You're like, oh my God, he's actually made a mistake. Mm. And of course, he didn't tidies up, make sure he doesn't get a bogey, makes five and walks off.
Moves on. Yeah. Yeah. It looked like it might get exciting for a while, didn't it? When you had four tied for the lead, didn't you? Six or seven holes. You must have been excited at that point, Barry, because you were on Max Homer, and he was
very good.
Right up there.
That was brilliant. Everything was aligning with the one wish, should all my bets have gone to crap last week, which was an exciting back nine setup, and it was set up perfectly. Like, here we go. Like, four lads. Like, let's go. 20 minutes later, it's done. It's over. Yeah. It's like, well, that was quick.
Scotty just taps the accelerator. Everyone else goes backwards, and suddenly there's daylight between him and everyone else. He's just immense, though, isn't he? And, you know, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks and months. Baby coming up. Bit of strapping still on his shoulder, so that's not 100%, but as Steve said a second ago, he probably wasn't 100%, you know, firing on all cylinders, and yet he still managed to get to 11 under par and a tough renewal with the Masters as well.
How he got to 11, it's incredible.
Yeah. Top six around the green at the Masters. Six, Jason Day. Five, Akshay Bhatia. Four, Tyrrell. Three, Patrick Reed, hence why he does well there every single year.
Mm.
Two, Cam Smith. One, Scotty Scheffler. And Scotty was half a stroke per round better than anybody else.
Yeah.
And almost one stroke better than Akshay Bhatia, who was in fifth in that category.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Every aspect of his game, we've talked about his putting, you know, an awful lot, but every other aspect of his game is just so good. And when the putting is even just average, it's just...
Paul,
it's a procession.
Can I worry you even more?
Go on.
8-week strokes gain tracker for this week's RBC Heritage.
Mm.
Scotty Scheffler, ranked, tied 10th with Wyndham Clark. So even the putter's not a problem anymore.
No, I know. If you look at his raw putts per greens and regulation stat, then he's right up there with the very best in the field. And this is a guy that everyone looks at and says, Scotty can't putt, and it's just not right.
Oh, Scotty can putt. Did I read correctly that since he switched to the mallet putter, he's plus 2.3 strokes gained putting or something crazy. Rory McIlroy has a lot to answer for. I mean, Scotty would have eventually have tested it or gone to or tried a mallet putter, but Rory just went, just go try it. Mm. All of a sudden, he may have really unleashed the monster.
He gained just under half a stroke each round at Augusta with the putter. And as we've been saying, even if he's neutral, he's winning golf tournaments. Remember, lads, a few months ago, he was losing 5 and 6 strokes across a tournament.
Yep.
Even
yep.
sevens.
It's yeah, it's a massive relative gain.
Yeah. Yep. So you think to yourself, now, Barry, was it you that said off mic that there is a bet out there? What's the price for Scotty to win all the majors?
Well, it was Paul like that.
Yeah. No, it's Boyle Sports offering 80 to 1 for Scheffler to win all 4 this season, which doesn't feel insurmountable, does it? It doesn't feel impossible sitting there right now.
The next major, the PGA, is at Valhalla, where Rory won last decade. That golf course has been renovated of late. It now features zuija grass from tee to green. Good old Southern States agronomy there. And it features bent grass greens, we think. So the agronomy next, the next major is something you will not need to worry about with Scotty Scheffler. You know that tournament they play, the Byron Nelson? TPC Craig Ranch? Now, Scotty plays that each year. That is bedecked in zuija grass with bent grass green. So I think KH Lee is going to win the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
Jason Day won that last year, if you remember.
Yeah, that's like the
That is Nelson. Very, 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 very similar agronomy to what they're going to be playing at Valhalla, but clearly a different kind of course that's going to be a lot longer and tougher. But the grass will be pretty much the same.
Lads, when it comes to that tournament, I'm going to try everything possible to talk myself out of backing Scotty like I did at the Masters. I looked for any reason to not back him when it was just as obvious as a wrecking ball to the face. So when I do that, tell me to go back and listen to this and tell myself to shut up and just back Scotty for it.
It'd be the price though, Barry. It's the same conversation as we had last week, and you're staring at 4-1 best price or 7-2 in a, you know, a world-class field. And you they all try melt to find reasons not to back it at that price.
Yeah, and I did. I found a whole bunch of reasons, and they were all wrong. So
yeah.
It's just, he is just, everybody melts around him. It's almost like the new age version of that Tiger aura, because they all know, no matter what, he's not going to melt away. So they just do it for him. He just keeps scottying along, tipping along, bum, bum, bum. Birdie here, oh, easy birdie there, no drop shots, and somebody just makes a mistake. Now, look, you know, and they need everything to go perfect for them, but he doesn't, and that's probably the thing that really gets in their heads.
Right now, you can back Scotty Scheffler with William Hill, or Coral, anti-post, to win the PGA Championship at Valhalla at 9-2. You know, that's just not going to be there.
No.
In May. I would suggest that is going to be shorter. Unless, of course, baby comes along and you have got this new child situation. Firstborn, isn't it? That's going to muck things up.
But then, you know, the general consensus on that is that it actually has a positive impact on a golfer's career. And if that's the case, how much more positive can you get?
There's another mouth to feed when you're taking home every tournament you're playing.
Yeah. Put another couple of million in the bank, Scotty.
Moving away from Scotty, wasn't it great to see, you know, I remember last year when we were bigging up Max Homer to win majors or be contending in majors, and the amount of abuse I was getting on X and what are you doing talking about Max Homer in majors? And I can remember one particular event where some guy said, you mentioning Max Homer to be competitive around Augusta National is just like completely bonkers. Stop it. So fast forward 12 months and there's Max tied for the lead at 7-under.
Yep.
Heading into the back where they were sort of late on in the front nine, weren't they?
Yeah, going into Armin Corner.
So Max has finally got his head around it. He can be competitive at majors, and isn't that great to see?
Yep.
Another building block probably maybe just a little leap too far to just jump from what he'd done to actually winning a major. But this one is, he was right there just before the back nine got going, or just as it got going. And that on 12, that was unlucky. You know, if he hits that 2 yards longer or 2 yards shorter, it doesn't catch that little shoot or bounce off the back of the green that kicks it into the bush.
Yeah.
But that's the, that, those are the margins. So
fine lines, Barry.
Yeah. He seems in a really good mental place. Just what he's saying and his, you know, it's, it seems in a good spot, and see what happens as the rest of the season goes by.
Hmm. Yep. No,
I'm glad I have my bets on him. That's like, that's nice. I mean, he did go out even further last week than the 40-1 I had. So from last year. So yes. I'll just happily have those bets for the other majors this year.
There's no love for him before, was there? Even from yourself, Barry, when we were talking about it on the pod, it was almost like a foregone conclusion. But he was really good.
He turned really it on. Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't trust anything I say in relation to picking golf, golfers in the last few weeks. Like,
I'm off with the fairies thinking about his winning the PGA. Sorry.
Maybe.
I remember Will Zalatoris winning at Southwind on Zorja Grass. He's 33-1 at the moment. Now, the thing with Scotty was, I think clearly Ludvig Åberg, you could build a case around the fact that he would be, I mean, Augusta's pretty perfect for the guy. He hits it a long way, he hits it straight. There's no real weakness in his game. And he seemed to like those. You know, you hear this, oh, you know, newcomers, they're completely bewildered on the greens. Yeah? Completely bewildered by the greens at Augusta National. Åberg was second for strokes gained putting across the whole tournament.
Yeah.
In fact, he was first because the guy above him was Brian Harman, who missed the cut. Ludvig, 2 strokes gained on the greens each round. Next best, Matt Fitzpatrick, 1.62. So again, he was absolutely battering the rest of the field on the greens. Mm. Just holding everything. Now, you could argue that won't happen again, but you could also argue that Ludvig felt very comfortable on those bent grass greens. So that's, and again, something to look out for punters. Ludvig going up country, bent grass greens moving forward, like the PGA at Valhalla. Interesting. Very, very interesting. But I think you could build a case pre-event for Ludvig. Clearly, people have said, oh, you know, he's a maiden. They don't win. Fuzzy Zeller, la, 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 la. We have seen now, though, that literally, if you're good enough now, you can contend at Augusta, Will Zalatoris. There's a whole host of them now that are literally getting into the mix on their first outing, but they don't win. The other two, though, Max Homer and especially Colin Morikawa, there was literally hardly anything you could grab onto pre-event.
No.
Max had a hot putter. Colin was just not Colin-like. He was struggling with his ball striking, completely nowhere. And they said that he was tinkering through the whole event anyway, wasn't he? With the irons he was using, the balls, he was changing everything. Mm. And it kind of clicked. So, yeah. It was kind of Scotty versus two guys that no one was on and Åberg that quite a few were on. But historically couldn't win because he'd never played there before.
Yeah. Wish when push came to shove, none of them could make the move. So
no.
That was it.
We came close on Patrick Reed. If he'd have made birdie on the 18th and not bogey, he would have grabbed a slice of the each way action at 70-1. So that was disappointing. But again, Patrick Reed at Augusta, ticking the box. Now, I'm someone that made the mistake of backing Xander at, well, just backing Xander. You don't have to say at a major. I mean, his record at majors is quite good. But this is what I take from it. Now, bearing in mind that those guys that went out in the first 10 to 12, well, probably 10 groups on Thursday caught a massive, massive advantage because the course was soft. There was very little wind. And then they got to about the back nine and it started to pick up. Mm. And that's the only reason Bryson took that golf course a cut part, because it was soft. It took away a lot of the vagaries that he can't deal with when it becomes Augusta firm. And there was no wind for those opening 9-10 holes. And he took full advantage of it. So well done to Bryson. Scottie Scheffler took full advantage of it. And this was the thing I took from Xander as someone that had money on him. Xander in majors, the first 9 holes and the final round doesn't happen. He was great from the last 9 on the first round when he was already 7 shots behind Scotty. And he was great. The final 9 holes of Thursday, great on Friday, great on Saturday. And then could have made eagle on 2 on Sunday, missed the putt, and then fell away completely. And that is Xander to me. And I've got to try and remind myself before the PGA Championship, when he's being hung there at 18-1 and he's going in decent form, you've got to kind of ignore it. Because when you've got money on it and you're watching people, you're just like, oh man. You see the real, you see what's really going on. But anyway, yeah, he got a full each way return for me. That's the thing with the guy, he's so consistent. He has such a great game. His short game on Friday and Saturday was brilliant again. It was Scotty-esque, the way he was missing greens, chipping it to 4 foot, making the putt. We move to the next hole. So you can see why he's great at majors. But again, it's just another case of he seems to hit that ceiling and can't mentally get through that at this point.
And you see someone like Scott, he's just got that extra gear. When he needs to find that extra gear, he just pulls away from the rest of the field.
Yeah.
But full place for you for Xander. So, it wasn't a complete wipeout. So well done with that. So a shame about Reed, because...
It was.
A flat final 9, and had he put together a decent final 9, he'd have placed. Chris Kirk, who I was on at long prices, exactly the same as well.
As well. Top 15, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then fell away.
Well, he finished in that kind of bracket, but he was won over for his final 9. And yeah, I understand it's the back 9 of a Masters, but he was never going to win it. And, you know, it wouldn't have been out of the realms of possibility for him to go out there and, you know, get 2 or 3 shots on the back 9 and secure a full place, which would have been nice. But yeah, it just didn't happen for him or Reed, which was a shame.
Yeah, go. Reed was level. I think he birdied, crazily enough, he birdied 11.
Yep.
And you think, wow, that's literally 2 strokes against the field right there. Mm, you know, ask Ludwig Eber, Oberg. And then it's like, right, he's got 13 coming up. He's got 15 coming up. And you're looking at the scoreboard because you're not going to see it on TV. And par. Shit. Yeah. But that's the way, that's golf betting. Small margin. Shall we move on to the RBC Heritage this way?
Just one last thing I want to say was even though we knew the ending of the movie once Scotty was there, it was still really enjoyable to watch incredible golf be played on the course. When Scotty's there, it just it takes away a little bit of the tension and the excitement. Because you know what's going to happen, or you know the likelihood of what's going to happen when he's there is he's going to win. So the fun is a little bit removed from what it could be, but it's still incredible to see him pick the place apart. I think I just need to be backing him the next time.
Haven't had it recently, but that to me was a proper Masters Sunday.
Phenomenal.
That gleaning on the whole golf course, and those greens are starting to get that little purple tinge to them.
Yeah, like Friday evening was one of the most enjoyable watches of golf I can remember. It was just
agreed.
The way the course was firm, not out of control, and the wind, and watching these guys try to figure their way out around that course without getting ejected because there were doubles waiting everywhere. It was captivating, and I just want to see more like that. But it could have happened to anybody, because when that course grabs you, like it's just got you spinning around, you can't stop. You can't see the matrix.
if you've got a weakness mentally and it's gusting 35 round Augusta and you can be have only three holes to go like JT and it just all unravels. To be fair, Patrick Reed, that's exactly what happened to him, Paul, wasn't it? On that when they resumed on Friday morning, he went double bogey to finish his round. He went from minus two to plus two in three holes. And that's what did him.
It did. Yeah, he could have been right up there without that. Could have been right in the mix.
RBC Heritage, signature event. I think the only two players from the top elite level that aren't playing are Hideki, who got ejected on Thursday at the Masters, and Victor Hovland, who's clearly got game issues at the moment. They've decided not to attend. It's a no-cut event. So people turning up, including Kevin Kisner, who's likely to finish last, who got a late sponsors invite. Can you hear my tongue-in-cheek here, guys? He will get a nice check for attending this week, which is good. And he doesn't have to do any commentary. So it's all good. The golf course, Harbour Town Golf Links. It's, you know, the week after the Masters, it's another golf course you don't really need to explain because we all know how it works. Harbour Town Golf Links, Hilton Head, South Carolina. Lovely spot on the coast. Pete Dye design. Course type. It's a Carolina golf course. I don't actually, across all my analysis, I do not record this as a coastal golf course, and people go, well, it's by the coast, Steve. It is, but 16 of the 18 holes are inland Carolina hardcore golf course, tree-lined, very tight, loads and loads of dog legs. There's very few straight holes, if any. So I actually just categorise this as Carolina-esque. So it's a mid-score golf course. Again, I'd expect, looking at the forecast, something around the 17 to 19 under par winning this. It is a short golf course. It's a par 71, 7,213 yards. Agronomy, Celebration Bermuda grass overseeded with perennial rye. Same with the rough. The rough length is 2.5 inches, so nothing major. The greens are tiny, 3,700 square feet on average. And as per pretty much every event on the PGA Tour recently, Bermuda grass greens, they are Tiff Eagle. They feature, of course, Poa Trivialis Overseed. They should call this the Poa Trivialis Overseed Tour.
The swing, at least, yeah.
Swing? It's been like it since bloody January. Throwing a couple of Poana events in California. Who goes well on greens agronomy like this? Oh, Scotty Scheffler. Not bad on this kind of stuff. I would categorise this as a positional golf course, chaps. Doesn't matter if you miss the fairway. As long as you're on the right side of the hole for where the pin position is. Simple as that. Dog legs galore. The other thing here is worth noting. You can putt from off the greens here, regular as clockwork, if you do not hit the dance floor. And we've seen quite a few use that technique over the years to very good effect here. I remember Stuart Sink winning here by doing that the whole way around. Mm. Putting, you know, he could be 15, 20 foot off the green and he was putting. Can work here. In terms of strokes gained of the winners here, 2016, off the tee, 29th infield. This is the average position of those that made the cut. 29th for off the tee, not important. That goes back to what we saw at both Pebble Beach, at Wileye Country Club, the Sony, and the Copperhead, the Valspar the other week. Driving, not important this week. which does take a lot of the advantages away from the very true elite. Strokes gained on approach, 10th. Strokes gained around the green, 17th. So nowhere near as important as what we saw at Augusta last week. But you've still got to have a decent clearing up game. And if you can chip in or putt in from off the green a couple of times, way hey. Strokes gained tee to green, 5th. Most of that made up with approach and around the green. Strokes gained putting, 19th. So again, team no putt can be effective here. If you actually look at it in terms of numbers, 80% of strokes gained of those winning here have been tee to green, 20% with the putter. So this isn't what we saw a few weeks ago at Memorial Park, if you remember, where strokes gained putting was actually more important than tee to green.
Mm.
It's 3.57 strokes on average per tournament gained on the, sorry, per round on the to the green. It's 0.7 of a stroke gained on the green. And Jordan Spieth won here 2 years ago, believe it or not, with negative strokes gained. And we've also had two guys across the last four renewals that have finished runner-up and again have putted negatively and have only lost the tournament by a shot or two. So team no putt definitely in effect this week around Harbour Town. Anything you want to add around the golf course? Anything about the tournament? Anything you want to throw in there while I have a little sip of tea?
It just should be next week. So I'm just saying it should be next week. There should be just time and space after the Masters to breathe and digest it all and talk about it a little bit more and give the... It just feels like it's just being washed away straight away into a signature event. 20 million. This is our big competition to live. And it's, it's just too fast.
Yeah, I've got to agree, Barry. It's it needed to. I mean, you could have put the pairs competition in this week and played it.
There you go.
Yeah.
100%. Put the team event on this week
and
then build the quality field up for the week after.
Mm. Yeah.
So those that want to have a rest can have a rest, and those that want to have a good jaunt around with their mates and have a bit of fun after the Masters can play the team event and then pull them back together.
Yeah.
But I suppose in this day and age where player power is everything, it's like, well, we've got them all together. Let's make it really easy for them, and then they will give them another 20 million the week after. But it loses its... They don't listen to their customers, do they? That's the trouble with the PGA Tour. They don't listen to the actual people that watch this. Because it's kind of meh, because it's the week after the Masters. Every week after a major is meh, isn't it?
Yeah, so give it a week off. I'm sure they'd all happily have a week of just chill time in the Carolinas after, particularly after a really testing Masters that, like, they're probably emotionally and mentally shot after last week.
Mm.
Yeah. Agreed. Just things that I've noted here, last few winners. Simpson, Sink, Spieth, Fitzpatrick. The minimum amount of times they played around here was 5. That was Jordan Spieth. And I've also noted this about winners. It's not all of the time, but it happens a lot. World ranking of winner. Bearing in mind, this is always the week. Well, there's the odd exception, but in the main, it's the week after the Masters. 16th for Fitzpatrick. 20th for Spieth. 9th for Simpson. 14th for Brendan Grace. 10th for Jim Furyk. 6th for Matt Kuchar. 18th. For Graham McDowell. Now, if you were plotting a chart there, there's quite a few winners here between 9th in the world and 20th in the world. And yes, I know the world rankings don't mean anything, blah, 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 but they kind of still do to a certain extent. That, to me, says a player that's a good player, that's right for the course, and hasn't really been in the white heat of action at Augusta the week before, and that can include completely missing the cut. Someone that's not turning up here completely and utterly frazzled.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
So I would have to say on that basis, that doesn't help Scotty. I know John Rahm was in an amazing run this time last year, wasn't it? Oh, John Rahm, he's going to win again. Finished 15th. Mm. Don't forget as well, with this, I mean, we've just been bigging up Scotty Scheffler, this green jacket curse, will it hit Scotty? It hits a lot of them. Only Jordan Spieth has won the Masters and gone on to win the next major in recent times. I know that for a fact on that. Was it 2015? When he pretty much won everything?
Mm.
Well, he only won the US Open because Dustin Johnson three-putted from about 4 feet and we were all on him.
Couldn't make it up. That putt's getting shorter and shorter every time we talk about it.
Five and a half, six?
It was about 12, I think.
On those cabbage patch greens?
Yeah.
Last year, Matt Fitzpatrick did finish in the top 10. Steve, what are you talking about? Matt Fitzpatrick finishing the top 10 at the Masters. You're talking about them being frazzled. Well, this is where this was it. 17th after round one, 20th after round two, 15th after round three. He was never in the battle. Playing well, backdoor to top 10. Stuart Sink finished 12th the year before he won at the Masters, before he won at the RBC. 30th in round one, 17th, 13th heading into the final round, finished 12th. The only player I could find that was literally in the white heat of battle was third heading into the last round, finished 5th, came here, won the RBC. If there was one guy, this would be, or there would be two actually in modern day golf, it would be Ricky Fowler would do this. And Matt Kuchar would be the other one. Matt Kuchar finished 10th, finished 9th, finished 8th, finished 7th, finished 6th, eventually crawls over the line, wins a tournament at like 14 to 1. And that's what he did. So I'm kind of taking away Morikawa no, Homa no, Oberg no, Scheffler no. Any players that I think were really feeling it last week, not getting involved with them. That's my strategy. Anything to add? Otherwise, I will move on to my tips.
No, go for it, Steve.
Bearing in mind, we are still living in a world on the PGA Tour where nobody, apart from Scotty Scheffler, has won at 50 to 1 or less in 2024. I'm going to actually go in reverse order on that basis. Let's mix it up. I've gone for two at 70 to 1 this week. I must say, when Betfred came out with their prices this week, Betfred have got an 8 places market available. It's not their default. It's the what they call it, pick your place option. 8 places each way at 50 odds. Their prices were very, very good on Monday when the markets opened. So I managed to get a lot of my tips away with Betfred this week. I've got Tom Kim. A point each way at 70 to 1 with Betfred. What do we know about Tom Kim? Well, he plays well on short golf courses. He plays well on scorable golf courses. He is a Carolina golf course winner. He won the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield. That was his first ever PGA Tour victory. Form into the Masters was horrible. 62-52 WD miscut. And then he goes and shoots a final round, -666 on Sunday. Best round of Sunday. I know he went out early. Hit 15 of 18 greens. He was 11th for off the tee, second for approach, first for tee to green on Sunday. So I just think this golf course will suit him. He played it last year, missed the cut. I was on him. I certainly wasn't on him at 70 to 1. I know that. I think it was closer to 25 or 30s. I think this golf course should suit Tom Kim perfectly. His world ranking, I believe, is in the mid-20s. Oh, yeah, 23rd. So, you know, we went through the numbers, didn't we? 9, 18, 20, 23. Mm. You know, you get these trends, don't you? Like, you know, like favourites don't win the Masters. Well, that trend's gone. I think Scotty fitted every other trend that we came up with, didn't he, Paul? Mm. You know, he won before the event, blah, blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Oh, guess what, guys? Top 10 of par 4 scoring average on the PGA Tour? Yeah, ticked every single box. So I'm on Tom Kim at 70-1. Right, I will throw it out to you guys. I've got another at 70-1. What kind of players have you got at either longer prices or around this price point? Barry, I will come to you first this week.
Shortest is 45-1. So I'll just do a couple of quickly. Cam Davis has two top tens here. The last couple of years he's played it. 12th last week in Augusta. Wouldn't have really felt massive heat, but played excellent. Nothing further to be said. Don't want to go too deep into the process. Pick the obvious stuff. Don't outthink myself. There you go. Done. The other one I have is Bezuidenhout.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like there's something.
What price did you get on him?
Bubbling there under the surface. I got him. I just took 50-1, six places. I didn't even go rooting around too much for prices. It just went, I have money. There's money in that bookie's account. There's the bet. Put it on. Don't think about it. I think I could have picked up a little bit better somewhere else. Actually, could have.
10th for bogey avoidance, Christian Bezuidenhout right now. And I tell you what, that is a good stat for around here. I think last three or four winners all had bogey avoidance rankings of 30 or below. Making sure you don't make mistakes or minimise those bogeys when you're missing these tiny greens makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, well, I'm on Tom Kim too, and like you, like the rest of the punting world, it would seem. He's been massively popular, isn't he? 80-1 he was yesterday. I managed to sneak a bit of 80-1. 55-1 I'm seeing best price this morning and still being back. So I expect 45-1 to be the kind of price.
I know. I've got to say, I got 70-1 and eight places. Yeah, I was absolutely. Made up.
Yeah. No, I had to go bare minimum with places to get 80s. But yeah, 70 with eight was a lovely combination. You managed to
That's
snare
not
there.
People.
I'm just greedy, aren't I? To my detriment as well. But yeah, no, let's look, like you, I think he's best on these shorter, more strategic tracks. And I think over time, he will have a really good record here at Harbour Town. It was a narrow miscut last year. It wasn't as if he missed it by an absolute mile. I think it was a shot outside the cut, something like that. So I think he can go well this week, Tom Kim. I have gone back in with Lucas Glover. I took 100-1 yesterday. Again, he's been nibbled in. There's obviously some mad, like-minded people out there.
He was thereabouts last week, wasn't he? Coming, you know, on Sunday. I know he made a bit of a mess of the final, but a lot of them did. But he was there or thereabouts, top 12, wasn't he, for a lot of that tournament?
I was seriously concerned because last week's pod, I kind of quipped towards the end that I hadn't backed Lucas Glover, having followed him off a cliff in the weeks and months before. And then you're sitting looking at a leaderboard and he's just flirting with those each-way places at, 300-1 or something he was last week? I was seriously concerned. But yes, he kind of just dropped away a bit at the end. But he's in decent nick. 11th at Valspar, 25th in Texas, and then it was 20th in the end last week at Augusta. Still hits the ball straight, as we know, but there's just been that odd spark with the putter. I talked about his putting being marginally positive at the Valspar. He actually gained 3 strokes putting at Augusta last week, which was mad. Over the 4 rounds, 3 strokes gained putting. That's on these horribly quick bent grass greens over at
Last summer, we all got a piece of victory. I mean, you got 2 on Lucas Glover, didn't you?
He can do
when he's putting well. His tee to green game is fantastic.
When that putter can find, and there have been a few signs, so I'm quite happy to have a go at him. He's made 7 of his last 9 cuts here at Harbour Town. 7th place finish, his best back in 2008. I think he could threaten a place here this week at, it's like 80-1 best price out there right now, but I'd take that. Sounds good enough to me. I've got one more, only playing 3 this week. The other one is towards the top of the market.
Okay. Lucas Glover, by the way, across my 8-week trackers. In this field, he's ranking 12th for T2 Green with Taylor Moore.
Mm.
So, yes. Tom Kim, the other thing, I'll tell you what I like about Tom. You just look at it. It's early doors. I don't see him at the top of many scoring charts when the wind's up. And, amazingly enough, the day that he actually really fired last week was the day at Augusta when the actual wind laid down.
Yeah, yeah.
Two things about him. Far better on 70s and 71s than he is on 72s. Bearing in mind, he won at Sedgefield, which is a par 70, and the two wins at Shriners are on a par 71. Short, and his, you look at short, medium, long splits, so short distance golf course. It's amazing. So, yeah, does fit like a hand in a glove this week. We all said it was going to be the Siwoo Kim Open this week, so it'll be interesting to see if any of us are on Siwoo Kim. I don't know. None of us convey any of our selections before we record the podcast, just for listeners. Right. My second 70-1, and I'd be surprised if Barry doesn't follow me in on this or is already going to back him. Sepp Straka, friend of the podcast, point each way, 70-1. Again, Betfred, 8 places each way on in their pick your place market. Loved it. Wherever he does well, features, not all of the time, but predominantly Bermuda grass or Bermuda grass overseeded with Poa trivialis. There's a whole litany of results that follow that. And you look, and I know I said I don't categorise it as by the coast, which I don't. But he finished second at the Open last year. Mm-hmm. And what kind of event has Jordan Spieth done well at in recent years at majors? Well, it does tend to be the Open. Fitzpatrick's got a reasonable record at the Open. We know that Fitzpatrick does, you know, he won the St Andrews event last year, didn't he, at the Alfred Dunhill, blah, 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 blah. I think there's something in there about the fact, you know, that smell of sea salt. But yeah, just his numbers last week were excellent. 11th for off the tee, 11th for strokes gained on approach, 8th for strokes gained ball striking and tee to green at Augusta last week. And again, he was very Lucas Glover-ish. There was a lot of them. Chris Kirk. All around that top 12, top 15 area. Patrick Reed was in there. All flirting with top 10 finishes and just finished a level below. So I think Sepp Straka this week, he's finished third here 2 years ago. He's a far better player than that now. I'm on him at 70-1. Brilliant price point this year. Betfred, 8 places each way. Barry, what do you think about Sepp Straka? Are you in?
Every time I'm not on Straka, you give me Straka fear of missing out. Massive Straka FOMO. So I'd throw a couple of euro on, Steve, just to either be with you for the win or to destroy your bet. Either way, I'm winning for the week. So makes sense.
So you're on Sepp as well.
I hadn't done it, but I'll join you on Sepp. I inadvertently have just gone scattergun and have a few bets already this week. I did remember what we said about what you said about Siwoo Kim a couple of weeks ago, and I backed him for this at 40-1. I got 6 places. Mm. Just
not bad.
Grand done. I mean, Siwoo clearly has been broken at Harbour Town since Kodaira destroyed his soul in 2018 or something. I think it was back then. Mm. When we were all on at 200-1 on Siwoo. So he hasn't been able to function there properly since. But let's see if he can figure it out. And then the other one I've backed this week, I'll finish off, is Shane Lowry. Got an invite into this week. Kind of knew about it. Has a good record here. He's playing well. We backed him last week. He couldn't figure out all the pieces to get himself right up there. Let's see if the low stress that he had last week allows him to go hot this week.
Shane Lowry last week. First, for those that made the cut for strokes gained on approach. Ninth for tee to green. 60th for putting.
Needs to try a mallet or a blade or who knows. Or it could just be a week where the greens befuddle you.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, that's... Yeah. Putting, as we all... Everyone knows, putting is the most crazy thing. There's no right or wrong. You don't tend to see trends of things slowly improving. They just kind of improve. Round to round, week to week. He lost two strokes on the greens every day at Augusta. And he was hitting it the closest of anybody, apart from Nick Dunlap, who missed the cut.
So frustrating.
And only played 36 holes. That must have been some approach play from Nick Dunlap, by the way, in that in those 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
So fair play to Nick Dunlap. Maybe that's one that might pop up this week.
Shane,
it just needs to find something on the greens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've one concern about my bet with Larry this week. And usually for Irish golfers, he will be shortest price on Paddy Power and by association Betfair because they own them. He's the longest. They're the best price in the market on Shane this week. So I'm wondering, do they know something we don't? That's the only concern I have.
That is not atypical.
That's not normal at all.
No. If we were in a normal betting year, chaps, Matt Fitzpatrick 28-1, Jordan Spieth 33-1, Webb Simpson 30-1. There's three of your last four winners here. Pretty tight, isn't it? 28, 30, 33. So I thought to myself, I've been following this guy for ages. I keep thinking he's about to win. Lets you down. I refused not to back him this week. 28-1 price point. Betfred, eight places each way. I'm grabbing all of those each way places. Thank you very much. Sahith Tigala. Top five here last year. 17th in the world rankings. It's all kind of lining up. I still think Sir Heath, he did win last year. It was one of these fall events that no one bar us retrobates that bet on golf every week even noticed. For him to come out and win a signature level event with all of the best players here, apart from Matsuyama and Hovland, I think that would be a huge motivator for someone like Sir Heath. Validation. And when you look at the President's Cup at the moment and qualifying, there's so many good players who are struggling in the rankings at the moment. Sir Heath, I believe, is close to top six. If he could actually win this and get a massive boost of points, I think that would pretty much guarantee him in the team. All these little motivational factors. So, yeah, I took Sir Heath at 28-1. When you look at correlating golf courses to this, and one of the very best is Copperhead, the Valspar, Sir Heath has done well at every single one of them. Even to the point of Sea Island, the RSM Classic, where Stuart Sink's got a top 10, Webb Simpson and RSM Classic. He used to go off, didn't he, at 8-1 every year and finish second every year.
Yeah.
Sahith Tagala has finished runner-up at the RSM Classic. Seaside golf course, Bermuda grass, just down the up the coast. Down the coast. Yeah, down the coast. Yeah, so I'm on Tagala at 28-1. Love that price point. And I also went, again, Betfred, eight places each way. Thank you, Betfred. 25-1 on Team No Putt, Will Zalatoris. This is what Zalatoris said after his second round here on the only time he's played the golf course. Yeah, I love it. It's really good for me. It's obviously pretty tight. You put it on the wrong side of the fairways, you're going to have to shape it around some trees. But I'm not afraid to shape the golf ball, so I really love this place. Now, at that point, I believe he was just on the fringes of the top 10. He'd shot I think it was 68-67. He was 11th heading into the weekend. The only problem with Will was he'd seriously contended a few days earlier to win the Masters, and he fell away. Not that problem this time. He's come the other way. He's done a Matt Fitzpatrick. He's backdoored a top 10. So I'm on him at 25-1. We bet Fred 8 places each way. Team no putt, Will Zalatoris. Bearing in mind, his only win, and we were on board that week, 2022 FedEx St. Jude Championship, played on Bermuda grass. Again, if you want another correlating golf course, TPC Southwindon here is very, very good. Fitzpatrick's finished fifth there. Jordan Spieth a couple of 12ths. Stuart Sink a fourth and an eighth at Southwind. Webb Simpson a second and a fifth at Southwind. That's great for you, Paul. Lucas Glover, we know, won that very event last year. So Zalatoris at 25-1, and I'll just kind of mutter this one and move quickly onto the Corrales. I've also tipped up Patrick Cantlay. I've gone for the two boring twin brothers, one each week across the Masters and the RPC Heritage. What could possibly go wrong? Patrick Cantlay, 2.5 points each way, 18-1 with Betfred on Patrick Cantlay. Any others, chaps? Or can we move on?
Yeah, I've got one towards the top, 25-1. I backed Matt Fitzpatrick here last year. 28th he was last year. I see no reason to drop him this year, 25-1 this year. He's defended over in Europe in the past. If you look at his record at Croix-sur-Sierre, won in 2017, won in 2018. He also won at the Earth Course twice. They weren't in consecutive years, but it kind of shows to me that he likes the courses that he likes, and he absolutely loves Harbour Town. I talked about it quite at length last year, but he played here as an amateur, fell in love with the place, was fourth here in 2021, won last year. Really big thing for him. If you listen to any of his, or read any of his interviews, he always talks about Augusta National and Harbour Town being his two favourite courses in the world. And playing some decent stuff. Fifth at the Players, 10th at Texas, 22nd last week in Augusta. So again, no disgrace, but he was, he didn't expend too much energy, I don't think, in that kind of position, but kept himself ticking over. And as you said earlier, actually putting really nicely. What comes out of his stats when you go through his performances here at Harbour Town over the years is that he does putt particularly well here. And we know that he can be really good with his long game when he's on his game. I think there's a decent enough defence coming here, particularly since we know that he can and has done that in the past. And there has been an increasing trend over the last couple of seasons, at least, of players defending titles. So 25-1, 22s if you want the additional each way places this week. Decent enough for me, I think. So yeah, in on Fitz.
Ludwig, as we said earlier, gained 2 strokes per round on the greens. Second, Matt Fitzpatrick, 1.62 strokes per round gained on the greens. Behind that, Denny McCarthy, Cam Smith, Chris Kirk, and Patrick Reed. So yeah, putting well. There is also a opposite event this week, the Corrales. I just love this. The Corrales Punta Cana Championship. They play this at the Corrales Golf Club in Punta Cana, believe it or not. That is in the Dominican Republic. You ever been to the Dominican Republic? I've never been there.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Barry?
No.
Sounds nice, doesn't it? When it's blowing 40 miles an hour and hailing outside at the moment.
It's rained on 19,000 consecutive days here in Ireland. So
we do live in Ireland.
Yeah,
that's like living in Manchester and complaining that it rains all the time. True. It's a long golf course. It's 7,670 yards. That is long, especially at sea level, because it's a coastal golf course. I categorise this as a mid-score assignment. Winning scores here. Matt Wallace at 19s. Chad Ramey. I mean, this is just telling you everything you need to know, just reading these names. Chad Ramey, 17 under. He was a rookie. Joel Damon, who won, I think, off about 12 miscuts. Very James Harn like that win, if you remember, Paul. Old mucker James Harn. Mm-hmm. He won at 12 under. That was a particularly blustery, tough renewal. Hudson Swafford, Mr. Corrales himself. I mean, this literally got him a live contract, his performances at the Corrales. 18 under par. Graham McDowell, 18 under par. Bryce Garnett. Amazingly enough, Bryce Garnett, where did he win the other week? Oh, he won at Puerto Rico, 18 under par. So I think safe to say it's going to be between 17 and 19 under par this week. That crossover between the Puerto Rico Open and here is very real. These golf courses are both coastal. They both feature Paspalum agronomy across the whole golf course. As ever, we have to have a little flutter, even though it's complete and utter. I mean, if we're linking Matt Fitzpatrick, Chad Ramey, Joel Damon and Hudson Swafford, good luck with that. The only things I notice here, and this kind of goes against what I used to think here, if you just look at their sort of driving distance numbers, the season they won, Wallace 103rd, Ramey 187th, Damon 126th, we had Hudson Swafford 105th. It's not shouting bombers. And yeah, you've had bombers like Nikolai Højgaard finish second, and I'm not suggesting that they won't win this year. Anyone can win this year, apart from Matt Kuchar. He's done his usual, entered a opposite field event and then said, oh, I don't want to go there, can't be asked. So he's withdrawn overnight. I've no idea who's been replaced with. I would have thought it's probably Omar Oresti by now.
They'll be plumbing the depths by now, yeah.
Is it Omar or... I don't know, what about Richard R. Johnson, someone like that?
Potentially.
Or is it Richard J. Johnson? Richard H. Johnson?
Richard S.
Get there eventually. Right, I can't help but play with things like this. I sometimes do get the winners of these opposite field. The quality player that I've gone for this week, 30-1, bearing in mind Wallace was 25. That's one thing I will say here. And yet, you know, I get shouted down. You talk about all this stuff, Steve. It's immaterial, I get told quite regularly. Wallace 25-1, Ramey 50-1, Damon 50-1, McDowell 40-1. Even Bryce Garnett was 66-1. There's only one triple digit winner of this in recent times. Hudson Swafford, Mr. Corral, is 200-1. I went for Victor Perez. Now, Victor missed out on playing in the RBC Heritage by one Aeon Swing 5 place. He was sixth. So could have been playing the very rich RBC Heritage event. I managed to get 30-1 on Victor, I believe, with Bet365 8 places each way via their Each Way Extra facility. Three wins on the DP World Tour. So he's a quality sort. He was in the top three at the Puerto Rico Open when they played it a few weeks ago. He shot 15 under across the closing 54 holes to finish third in Puerto Rico. And his last win on the DP World Tour, this is a kind of angle I took with Sammy Falimaki a few weeks ago in Mexico, if you remember. Finished second, didn't he, to... I'm having a mind blank. Who won the Mexico Open? Sammy was second. Sammy, great form on Paspalum golf courses on the DP World Tour. Victor Perez is in the same kind of boat. He won the... he won the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship last year. I mean, that is a class event on the DP World Tour. Played at the Yas Links golf course, which is a Paspalum golf course. He's also had a fourth at the 2021 Saudi International, played at the Paspalum Carpeted Royal Greens Golf and Country Club. So he loves the Paspalum. Third last time out in Puerto Rico. 13th after 54 holes at the Houston Open. 45th at the Valero Texas Open last time out. He was 18th. He's just there or thereabouts all of the time. And in this field, you'd like to think Victor Perez would get kind of close to the lead or in the lead and might actually have a chance of closing it out, a bit like Matt Wallace last year. So I'm on him. I think it's interesting this week that you've literally got a guy that was contending to win and led the Masters last week on Saturday afternoon, who is a longer price to win this than Alex Noren. I couldn't quite compute that.
Mad.
Could you two get your head around that?
No.
Why is Alex Noren 14-1 and Nikolai Højgaard 16-1? Does not compute.
I tell you what, on Saturday, it was Saturday, Højgaard, his swing was phenomenal for the first 10 holes. He was flowing. And then he saw his name at the top of the leaderboard and got hit with an extreme case of vertigo.
Tightened up a little.
Yeah, it's all it takes.
For being but polite.
Good learning experience, but man, until that point, that swing was just so well oiled. Off, it was great. So
from a European perspective, we've got a couple of cracking youngsters coming through the ranks in Højgaard and Åberg.
Mm.
Really, really good for the majors. Really, really good for the Ryder Cup. Really, it's encouraging stuff. Next up for me, 50-1. Unlike me, I took six places each way with Unibet, but I couldn't miss out 50-1 on Ben Martin. Seventh last time out of the Valero Texas Open. Matt Wallace finished seventh the outing before at the Valspar. And then a thing I like about Ben Martin is Ben is kind of old enough and experienced enough to now know that the PGA Tour is a difficult place to keep full level status on. He's dropped out over the years and come back. He really values these opposite events. Sixth at the Reno Tahoe in 2011. Third at the 2014 Puerto Rico Open. Seventh at the 2016 Barracuda. Plus sixth at the 2017 Barbasol. He comes to these alternate events. Tournaments and plays well in them because he knows it actually helps guys to keep your card at the end of the year. Keeps me on the gravy train. His performances here are shockingly good. Ninth, second and eighth over the past three renewals. He's coming off a seventh and I've got him at 50-1. So, bit of a no-brainer for me, Ben Martin. I'll run through mine. I've got no idea if you've got any selections or I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'll run through these quickly. A player that often pops up for me is impossible to read. He will put in a top 10 performance and then go missing for months on end. But if anything, he's definitely Bermuda grass positive and he's definitely Paspalum positive. Tyler Duncan. I went a point each way at 55-1 with him. Boyle Sports, eight places each way. Tyler Duncan, great at the RSM Classic. I think he's won there in the past and he plays well there regularly. Very, very straight. I wouldn't sort of call him short. He's kind of medium length, but dark, absolutely arrow straight. Decent ball striker when he's at it. Team no putt. But Duncan has been kind of there or thereabouts recently in a couple of events. He's finished 33rd here and third when it was a Corn Ferry Tour event. And then Tyler was also fourth here after 36 holes in 2021 before finishing 48th. That's Tyler Duncan. 28th in 2022 and third here last year. So I'm on Duncan at 55-1. And then I've gone for a rookie because we have seen Chad Ramey win this at 50-1. But I haven't gone for one of these buccaneering kind of guys that, a Jake Knapp sort or a Alejandro Tosti who's banging it 350 off the tee every time he tees it up. I have gone for a shorter, more average hitter, Joe Highsmith. He looks a bit like Joel Damon, you know. He's got one of these floppy kind of hats that he wears.
Bucket hats, yeah.
Bucket hat, yeah. Joe Highsmith, a point each way at 80-1. Again, this one's with Betfred. 8 places each way. Thank you for the 8 places. He was the 36 and 54 hole leader at the Puerto Rico Open last month. And one thing I noticed about Chad Ramey when he won this 2 years ago as a rookie, Chad Ramey finished 5th at the Puerto Rico Open the month before coming here. Or I think it was like 3 weeks before coming here and taking this one out. So I've taken Highsmith as well. He eventually finished 6th at the Puerto Rico Open last month. So that's Joe Highsmith. So for what it's worth, I've got Highsmith, Tyler Duncan, Ben Martin and Victor Perez. Right, Paul, who have you backed at the Corrales Punta Cana Championship?
Well, I've only backed one, but I'm actually...
Don't blame you.
I'm actually really keen on him. Got him at 66s yesterday. He's been nibbled into 50s.
Well, can I have a guess?
Go on.
Oh, by the way, Billy Horschel's playing, and I did tweet this out a couple of weeks ago. Barry's very up to speed with this. Billy Horschel, not Barry Horschel. Billy Horschel has been added to my post-it note of doom. An official entry.
Yeah, took some time.
66-1, did you say?
It was yesterday, yeah, 50s now.
There's no 66s left. Oh, I know who you've gone for. Garrick Higo.
Garrick Higo, Steve. Absolutely spot on. I think an alternative event like this is a really big opportunity for the South African to win, wrap up his card. He won the Palmetto, didn't he, back in 2021. So,
and didn't he win a couple of DP World Tour events on Paspalum?
He's won 3 altogether. Yeah, I think they've all got some correlation, actually. He won the Open de Portugal, which was by the coast, but wasn't on Paspalum. But he won in Gran Canaria and in Tenerife in the space of a fortnight or so.
Yeah.
And the Gran Canaria course was Paspalum from tee to green and then Bermuda on the greens. And the Tenerife course was Paspalum from the whole piece. So, yes, I think he likes the surface in general. 19 under for his first win. A bit deeper, 25 and 27 for the other two. I don't think it's going to get as deep as this, as you said, this week. But he can score, certainly. And can score on longer courses and is a long enough player, I think, to get on with this particular course this week on debut. It was solid in Houston. Poor final day. He was in a decent spot up until the 54 holes. 33rd last time out in Texas. So kind of understated in terms of his form, hence the price in this field. But I think he's got a better chance than that. We saw last year, Matt Wallace, he won from Nikolai Højgaard 1-2. So perhaps another ex-Euro Tour, DP World Tour player could be the ticket, could be the answer to this week's test.
I do like Higo. It's a good selection. He was on the fringes for me.
I think there's enough to like to give him a go, actually. So that's the only one I've backed this week.
What about you, Barry? I know that you don't, this is kind of DP World Tourish for you, and you don't like getting involved in these muck shoots, which I can understand. Are you on any?
I would have a couple of bets on the GP World Tour event because I can watch it in the mornings and the weekends. But I haven't even looked at this properly, and I think it's too... I'm too far out of kilter with picking golfers that are going to go well. It's even more wild. I'd be better off just throwing a dart at a board. So I'm going to abstain.
I'll ask you another question.
Yeah.
What do you think to me adding Billy Horschel to my post-it note of doom? What are your views on that?
I mean, I was an advocate for this for a long time. We spoke about it a lot before you actually eventually got there. Nothing against Billy, but in terms of betting on him, yeah. I think you've made a good call, Steve.
Oh, thank you. There were points on Thursday when I was about to add Xander to my post-it note.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I mean, that would be a proper commitment.
I noticed how Adam Scott was being mentioned a lot last week. Blah, 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 Adam Scott. And as he's on my post-it note of doom on non-majors. Sorry, on majors. Don't ever back Adam Scott at a major. And he did his usual and finished mid-30s or something like that.
Didn't we crunch the numbers, kind of just, you know, pencil and a napkin or pen and a napkin kind of thing on Xander before? And if you just blind backed him for majors and tournaments, you'd
be
losing.
Well behind, wouldn't you?
So that you should automatically put him on the post-it note of doom then, after disappointing you last week. Completely non-competitive, non-featuring, high finishing result. Never threatening to win.
Yeah. Mm. As per Patrick Cantlay.
He should be on it as well.
Maybe I think we need to have a podcast week. Where we literally have conversations about the post-it note of doom and, you know, we go through various players and cases for and against. I think the listeners would like that.
Do you know what we should do? Yeah, get other, like, golf podcasters to phone in for that as well. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people needing to vent.
Vent their spleen.
Yeah.
Cover the whole spectrum of golfers over the years.
Yeah, I get that. I think that's us for the week, chaps. I hope your bets go well.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. Now, Paul, I've actually got a very rare week off next week. Because I do not and will not ever cover the team event at the Zurich.
No, don't blame it.
You have an event, though. And I know that is outlandishly, that's crazy on the DP World Tour. There's actually a tournament. Have you got?
Yeah, we should have had the Career Championship this week, but that's been shifted back to the back end of the season. We're over in Japan next week for the ISPS Handa Championship on a new course, which will take some
good luck with that.
Yeah, take a little bit of research. It's the they're playing it at the Taiheo Club, which is where they played the Taiheo Masters.
Yes,
on the Japan Tour.
It's a regular, isn't it? JP Tour event.
Yes, so there is some course form. Christian Bezuidenhout is coming over to play, apparently. So he will most likely be the short priced favourite, I'd have thought. But yes, I'll have a dig into it. Lots of Japan Tour players playing, of course, so some unknowns, but something for us to get our teeth into on the DP World Tour, which is nice.
We'll get into that next week. Right. I hope the listeners' bets go well, and we'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf betting system.